ഗുണ്ടനവതീം തേജോമയീം നശിക്കും ഗംഗാപാംഗവിലോകിനീം ഭഗവതീം മന്ദസ്മിത ശ്രീമുഖീം വാത്സല്യാമൃതഭക്ഷിണീം സുമധുരം സങ്കീർത്തനാദാപിനീം ശ്യാമാംഗീം മധുസിക്തസൂക്തിം അവതാനന്ദാത്മികാമീശ്വരീം. സമ്മോദത്തോട് സാന്ത്വനങ്ങൾ അരുളും തേജസ്വിനി സദ്ഗുരു ബ്രഹ്മാനന്ദര സംവയനീയ കുരുളെ ശീതാശയം നിത്യം നിരന്തരാനന്ദം ചിദ്ഘനം ബ്രഹ്മ നിർഭയൻ കൃത്യാകർത്താനുഭൂതിഭ്യാം അഹമജ്ഞദ്വയം സദാ. Knowledge complete, that is what is called as moksha or perfection. all aspects. So we discussed in the previous shloka as to what does that mean. Like from we can see that with respect to Satchidanandam or Satchit Anandam, Anantam. There are many analysis or many ways of analyzing. But in short, we don't need to learn or understand all those terms or all those perspectives. It is in simple words as to how can I become perfect. As we read yesterday in Awakened Children, as Brahma speaking about the purpose of life. The purpose of life is to become complete, or contentment or satisfaction, perfection. So that is what is the goal. And that can be achieved through knowledge. So knowledge of that which can make me complete. Complete in the sense after which there will be nothing else to know. Yajnyatva neha bhuyo anyat nyatavyam avashishyate. So Krishna himself said that I'll give you knowledge and experiential knowledge as well. So how to experience it? So I'll tell you by knowing which there will be nothing else to know. That is what we have been seeking. So I know that like Aparna always complains that I'm talking about the same thing. So I just want to justify here that there's nothing else to talk about. So if we talk about something else, there are only two planes here. As Shankara says, and we also discussed in the previous shloka, there are just two planes here. Only two things. So when we have to know something which will make us complete, there are only two things that finally comes up. When we try to analyze as to what to know, so that is also an analysis, like, I have to take up a degree, but taking up a degree is the second step. The first step is analyzing what all degrees are there, noting them down and then trying to figure out, okay, which is good for me. Similarly, in Vedanta also there is an analysis of what all really exists. So as Shankara says, Vrit Drishyav Dvav Parathav Saha Parastara Vilakshanav Vrit Brahma Drishyam Mayeti Sarva Vedanta Dindima. In analysis, when we try to analyze as to what is there, what all can I know, what is there to know, then there are only two entities here. So one is Vrit, which we all, I know that we already discussed it, but one is Vrit, and the other is Drishyam. Drish is the subject, Drishyam is the object. The subject is constant, objects are changing. So taking the simple case, I am the subject, objects are many. I see something now, I see something tomorrow. So objects change, subject never changes. And it is the subject, even the mind, even the sense organs, all those are objects of consciousness or the real I, the pure I. So if we try to analyze as to am I the body, am I the mind? If I am the mind, I cannot objectify my thought. I know that I have bad thoughts. Let me go to spiritual masters and say, I'm getting bad thoughts these days. So that means I can perceive thoughts. Thoughts become an object for me. So that itself means that I am different from thoughts. So everything including body, mind, intellect, sense organs, everything other than the pure I, pure consciousness, they are all objects, drishyam. And brick or the subject who perceives all this, he is called Brahman, he is called Ishvara, he is called Atman, he is called Self. So different ways or different names for it, but it is, its nature is Satchidanandam, it is constant. Whereas Drishyam is termed as Brahman Jagat, or the world which is changing, ever changing, the world ever changes. Similarly, since it is ever changing, it is not Sat, it doesn't always exist. Because it is changing, that means its existence is not steady, it will not ever exist. And before creation, world was not there. After creation, world will not be there. So world is not Sat, world is not Chit, world doesn't experience its own existence. So that the world, the cell phone cannot say that I exist. The cell phone needs a sentient being like me to say that, oh, the cell phone exists. So the world can Satchidanandam is the world's nature, which is Dukkham. Dukkham is the nature of the world. So that is the nature of the world. So these are the only two things that we can see. So everything, all knowledge that we get, like even the knowledge, cultural knowledge, we can say that there is knowledge, the entire world, there is knowledge and there is scriptural knowledge. Scriptural knowledge is a little better than normal knowledge, but scriptural knowledge is also jnanam. It doesn't become vijnanam, it doesn't become experience of Brahman. Therefore, that is also in the realm of world. So that's the reason why we can find many people learning the scriptures, but still they don't realize, they don't have contentment, they don't know Brahman. So, there are many shlokas, I don't want to enter into all those. So, Jagat, all knowledge is part of Jagat, and Brahman can be experienced as our indwelling self. When we go beyond all experience, then we realize Brahman. So, since we are now experiencing the world, there should be a transition from the world to Brahman. The only transition or bridge between Jagat and Brahman is Brahma Jnanam, or speaking or listening about Brahman. So anything apart from speaking about this Advaitiya Satyam, it may give us little happiness. Oh, I can, like tomorrow, Gita, only one person is there, only Rajesh is there to listen. Those people vanish, that is fine. So if I talk about the world, there may be more people coming to listen. There may be more, Kya ustad, kya ustad. You can't be ustad now because I have long hair, so it will be something else. Oh, Kuruni Vajya, you are doing really good. So it will be like that, so it doesn't matter. So that will be there, but that can't give me contentment. That can't give contentment to the people who are listening. There are many people who have learned from Paramatma. Many people, like, I don't want to name people, but there are many people who have been learning from Paramahansa for many, many years, almost 20 years, but still, have they realized? No. Okay, it's not at all with Paramahansa's teaching, but anything that is not about Brahman, it might attract crowds, it might, like comedies or giving jokes and all, it might attract people, but it cannot give contentment to oneself, as well as to others as well. So contentment can happen only by knowledge of Brahman, which means speaking about Brahman. And this is not against what Narada himself says, that people who demonstrate bhakti, they always speak about Ishvara, they always talk about Ishvara, they sing about Ishvara, they think about Ishvara, so they do everything with respect to Ishvara or Brahman. There is no point trying to speak about anything else. As Mithu says, there are two ways of speaking. So one is, speak as to what is good for others or what is attractive to others, good to others. So that is one. So that is called Priyam. So Priyam, or which is liked by others. So if you just like say some beautiful stories and then sing some bhajan in between, like again I don't want to quote names like people do, so you just like sing a bhang in between and like tears will come from your eyes. So although that is priyam, you can do things which can attract others, which can give happiness, or which can boost your state, but that is one way of telling. But the other real way of telling is what is good first, really good for others. So one is good to others, what others consider as good, and one is that which is really good to others. So that is what that alone. So as Krishna himself says later in Gita, that the spiritual path is something that might appear to be like a poison in the beginning. It's very tough. So when we start, like when we listen to Brahman, finally we will think, what is the same Brahman daily, same thing? Whether it is Vedas, Sahasranama, or whether it is awakened children, it's all Brahman. I don't want to listen. What is the point? So it will be like, it as if it's not attractive, not, it is like very tough. Because logic, it's a simple logic, but as we know, that which is very close to our eye, we cannot really perceive it. Perceiving it is very tough. So similarly, this is very simple logic, it is very tough for us to understand. If we give some very tough logic, then it is very easy to understand. Oh, you have to, for realizing this, you have to first visit temples, the temples in US, first you can, you need to visit temples in US, and then you need to visit the caves in Himalayas. You have to go there and meditate for 1 month. Then you will realize that somebody says, then people will be very ready to do. But that's not mentioned here. Here what is mentioned is very simple, but still, since it is very simple, it is not appealing, it's very tough as well. So it might appear this, whatever Vedanta really says, that might appear really bad or really tough to understand, but once we grasp, get a grasp of it, it is very simple. It is, okay, again, if somebody thinks that, oh, simple, like you are saying it's simple, I have been listening for many days now, I think that I'm going mad, I cannot understand anything at all. So then Krishna himself says in the 9th chapter that Raja Vidya Raja Guhyam Pavitram Idam Uttamam Pratyakshavagamam Dharmyam Tusukam Kartum. So he says Tusukam Kartum, that means it is very easy to implement. He doesn't even say about it is easy to understand. He goes one step further. He goes one step further to say that, he says that it is very easy to do, it's very easy to perform. That means vijnanam, or that implementation is very easy. Implementation means you have to understand. That means it's very easy to understand. It might appear that, oh, it's the same thing you are telling. Oh, I've learned each yogas of Gita now, but all are like, can only understand one thing, it is this. Brahman, what? Brahman, 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 15 minutes Brahman, 15 minutes Brahman, and in between just mention the shloka once, meaning, oh, that's the oham up to Kaunteya, till it once. Yes, I cannot speak anything apart from that. So people who have or who don't like it, there is no forcing in Vedanta, I shouldn't say myself, because Vedanta doesn't force. So Krishna, we go to the end of Krishna, and Krishna's advice, or instruction to Arjuna, Krishna says that yate chasitata kuru. He says that whatever you feel, Arjuna, try to analyze it. Vimrshyera vasheshena. Do vimarshanam, do your analysis. Vimarshanam means it's not just analysis. Like no spiritual master will say that you should blindly accept my word. The spiritual master will tell you, analyze it thoroughly as much as you want. Try to think. And then we do want, you want. So nobody is forcing here. But if we try to do proper analysis, then we will find. If anybody is able to find out something other than Brahman to speak about, which can give happiness, I am very, very open to hearing it. Of course, it's impossible. Maybe there is. Oh, Amma, you can speak about Amma. Speaking about Amma is speaking about Brahman, because there is nothing different from Amma and Brahman. So if we think, oh, Amma is not Brahman, she is a form. Form is not Brahman. Sachidananda Rupini Namaha. Sachidananda Rupini. Oh, Sachidanandam, two entities can have Sachidanandam, then Advaita Makaranda clearly says there cannot be two Sat, there cannot be two Chit, there cannot be two Anandam. It's only one entity, which is Brahman. So there is no need of justification, but anything, like we have to always remember that there are only two things here. One is Brahman, one is Jagat. One is Ishvara, one is Maya. Ishvara is real, Maya is temporary. Ishvara is changeless, Maya is always changing. Ishvara is blissful, Maya is sorrowful. Ishvara is our real nature, Maya is our apparent nature. So Hari Ram is speaking, that is Maya. I am I, that I, pure I, without any identification or association, that is Brahman. So if we remember this much, And always remember these two, like Brahman is there, Jagat is there. Jagat is only an illusion in Brahman. Brahman is the cause of the world. Brahman is thereby the substratum in which the world is seen, even as the dreamer is the substratum. Dreamer himself is the entire dream world, even as desert is the water seen in desert, the entire world is Brahman. Then what is the difference between Brahman and Jagat? Difference is just that Jagat has Namarupam Vedam Nanatvam. Brahman is one, Jagat is many. That manyness is caused by Namarupam. If we perceive Namarupam, then will not be able to perceive Brahman. If we are able to perceive Brahman, then Namarupam will not cause us any sorrow. Sorrow will end there. So knowledge about Brahman is the knowledge that the entire world is Namarupam in Brahman. So taking the normal example of gold ornaments, there are various gold ornaments. They are just names and forms, gold chain, gold necklace, the name, a form. But everything is just gold alone. Similarly, the entire world is Brahman. We have to always remember this. And if we always remember this, at least intellectually, if we are able to understand this, that is jnanam. And if we are able to persist this thought in the intellect, that is vijnanam, that can give us moksha, that can give us or take us to that state where everything is known. I don't have anything to know. I don't have any desire whatsoever. Kritya kritya bhavam, as Krishna says. So I don't have anything else to do because everything is meant. Action itself, we do action because we have some desire to fulfill here. There is no desire to fulfill because I have attained that which makes me or content. If there is contentment, if there is happiness, then there is nothing else, no more desires left. And, okay, all these are not my words. So if somebody thinks I am like creating all these words, then they can look at Krishna's words. Or go to Balakrishna Nair and ask him as to, oh, Saraswati went and met Balakrishna Nair. So she said, so the world is there and it is like causing lot of trouble. His reply was, what world? Everything is anandam. There is only anandam here. There is only anandam here. He again said something else. There is only anandam here. So whatever you say, it's like the parrot talking. You can consider it like a talking parrot. Whatever you say, it will say the same thing. You cannot say anything else. So, and that is exactly what Krishna is trying to tell in the 8th, 9th, 10th and 11th shloka. In all of these, Krishna says that everything that is present here is in fact Brahman. So in the 7th shloka, we learn that Mattat Paravaram Nanyat Kinchidasi Dhananjaya. O Arjuna, I am the cause of this world, thereby there is nothing different in the entire world or entire world apart from me, apart from Brahman. There is nothing else present in the entire world. And that is what the Upanishad says as Nehanana Sikinchana. There is no duality whatsoever here. Oh, it's fine, let me see duality. So then, Mrityo Samrityam Gacchati Aiha Nana Aiva Pashyati. One who sees Namarupam, he will be born, he will die. He will take birth and die. Birth, death, that will continue forever. This will continue as long as we are in the plane of Jagat. But the moment we shift through the bridge of contemplation of Brahman, remembrance of the truth that the entire world is one entity, as long as we do that, we will be part of Jagat and we will be, if we are part of the Jagat, then the characteristics of the world also applies to us. The characteristics is constantly changing, it means subject to birth and death. The world itself gets created and destroyed, it changes, so it will apply to us as well. So in brief, whatever Krishna says, Ratuham Apsu Kaundeya, O Arjuna, Apsu, in Apsu, Apsu means in water, I am the ఫీల్స్ ఇన్ వాటర్, దట్స్ ఎ మస్ ఫీల్స్ ఇన్ వాటర్. ప్రభాత్ మీ శశి సూర్యయోహు, ఇన్ శశి అండ్ సూర్య, చంద్ర అండ్ సూర్య, అండ్ ద ప్రభా, అండ్ ద ప్రభా ద లైట్ దట్ కమ్స్ అవుట్ ఆఫ్ సన్ అండ్ మూన్. ప్రణవ సర్వ వేదేషు, ఇన్ ఆల్ ద వేదాస్ ఐ ఆమ్ ప్రణవ ఓంకారం. అండ్ శబ్ద కే, ఇన్ కమ్, కమ్ మీన్స్ ఇన్ ఆకాశం ఐ ఆమ్ శబ్దం, సౌండ్. పౌరుషం విషు, ఇన్ హిమ్, ఇన్ బీయింగ్ ఐ ఆమ్ దట్ పురుషం, పౌరుషం పురుషత్వం, మ్యాన్హుడ్, దట్ ఐ ఆమ్ ఇన్ బీయింగ్. పుణ్యోగంధ, ఇన్ పృథివ్యాం, పృథివ్యాం ఇన్ పృథివీ ఐ ఆమ్ ద పుణ్యగంధం. తేజశ్చస్మి విభావతౌ, జీవనం సర్వ తేజ చాస్మి విభావతౌ. వాటెవర్ ఇస్ whatever has valor or splendor, we can say tejas, whatever is there glowing or like agni, bright, all those like the tejam is my, me, or I am the tejam. Jeevanam sarva bhuteshu, in sarva bhuteshu, in all beings jeevam, jeeva bhavam, life, consciousness in all beings, tapaschasmi tapasvishu, in tap, tapasvi, in people who are doing tapas and austerity in them. And O Arjuna, okay, we don't need to get confused. Oh, I don't like, I don't understand rasu, aham, apsu. In apsu rasam, I don't understand. So for that we have to learn Vedanta, like the basics of Vedanta. Water has the essence of taste. Prithvi has the essence of smell. Akasham has the essence of hearing. Chabdham. All that is basics of Vedanta. I don't want to go into that. In short, what is Krishna telling is, whatever is there in the world, I am its essence. So essence means, essence is what is real. Everything else is apparent. It's like telling, I look really attractive, but my essence is that I am not attractive. So I look like I have all the Vesha Bhushan, but still I speak about Brahman. So that means, apparently, like external appearances are deceiving, so external appearance is not true. What is the essence? So essence in everything, whatever we see, I am the essence of everything. That is another way of clearly telling that whatever is there is me alone. Just nama rupam, that is not essence, that is not saram. Saram means, like we use the word nisaram or asaram. So that word means that which doesn't have any essence, that which doesn't really exist. So whatever we see as the world is Brahman. So what's the difference then? Nama rupam, like water, akasham, surya, chandra, we give different names. All of them are one entity alone. There is no duality. The duality with respect to name and form doesn't have any essence. So that is what Krishna is trying to tell. That everything that is there, whatever is there in the entire world, I am all those. So if you are all those, then how come like the Namarupam came? Bijam maam sarvabhutanam iddipata sanatanam. O Arjuna, know me to be the eternal bijam, seed of all beings, sanatanam bijam, eternal bijam. Eternal bijam means eternal seed, eternal cause. So eternal cause, is it really a cause? No, it's not a cause. It is a cause as long as we see. So, taking the normal example of water seen in desert. When we see water in desert, when we see water, we have to find out as to what is the cause of water. But once we don't see water, there is no cause at all. And once we know that the cause of water is the desert, which means there is no water at all, then the causehood for desert, desert being the cause of water, vanishes. So temporarily, from our perspective, okay, does water have a cause? Yes, because I see it, therefore it needs a cause. The cause is desert. A desert is not really the cause because water itself is not there. I know like this is tough to understand. Some people might say, I can't understand it. Like very tough, but it is very simple. It's not at all tough. Very easy, very simple, that from one perspective, when we see water, The water needs a cause, the third becomes a cause. But when water doesn't even exist, the third need not be a cause, because there is no water for which the third has to be a cause. But if you see water, which is what we are doing, like we see the Jagat existing, we see Jagat as real, we see objects replying back. Oh, cell phone is not sentient. No, it is sentient. It like vibrates. So vibration is sentient. Okay, if somebody says, yes, I understand that, but that sentience comes from where? From me. I am the eternal seed of the entire world, all beings. It is another way of telling that I am the essence of all beings. So whatever is there in the entire world, I am the essence, I am all those. So there are different levels of telling. First is, oh, the water is the effect of cause. And the second level is, oh, water is an illusion in desert. So first is, water is the effect of the cause of desert. So water is the effect of desert. And the second is, water is an illusion in desert. The third is, water is desert. Of course, there is no water at all, which means there is only desert. These are different perspectives. Ultimately, what does it mean? It means that whatever we are seeing is only nama rupam, it is only an illusion. It is a way of veiling us. It is a way of deluding us. Of course, Krishna is going to speak about it in the 14th very famous shloka about maya. That it's very tough and people are often deluded by maya. So that is maya. It is very highly delusive that it might give us a feeling as if the world exists. The nama rupam is exist. What is it I see then? Whatever is seen is Brahman. Because nama rupam is also essentially the object. The gold chain is essentially gold. That means it is gold only. But if we see nama rupam, then we have to say nama rupam is also just an illusion. In fact, only Brahman. So I am the eternal seed of object, of being, of the entire world. Sarva bhutanam, all beings. So there we can extend it to not just beings, living as well as non-living beings, we can extend it. So everything, I am the eternal seed, which means I am everything. And then Krishna knows that, asked me like some questions about whether Obama is increasing tax or McCain is increasing tax, how much the tax is increasing, how much the Dow index is going down. I can explain or answer all those. I can calculate and say, oh, Dow index is down by 40%, 20%, but this I cannot understand. It is very tough. Krishna knows that, therefore he again continues. He said, asoham apsu kaunteya, and after that, and the essence of this, that one, he enumerates or he picks up certain objects and says, I am the essence in those. And then he said that this entire, I am the essence of all beings. He knows that we cannot understand it. Therefore, he again enumerates few things. Buddhir buddhi matam asmi. I am the buddhi, intelligence in intelligent being. Tejas tejas vinam. Whatever tejas, object with tejah, I am the tejas in them. Balam balavatam chaham. I am the balam in the beings with strength. So I am the strength in strong beings. And kama raga vivarjitam, that which is beyond kamam and ragam, attachment and aversion. Dharma viruddho bhuteshu kamosmi bharatarshva. I am the kamam. And the desire in all beings, that desire which is not against dharma. So while ending, Krishna is not that, that foolish like us. So he is very intelligent, he knows what to speak, when to speak. So while ending this part of the chapter, of enumerating certain objects and saying that all those are me, all those are me, he is also giving the way as to how to get out of the bridge between Jagat and Brahman. That also he gives. So he says, kamam, and the desire in all beings, What desire? The desire which is not against dharma. So dharma, what is dharma? Dharma, the word dharma itself means dharyate iti dharma. That which upholds, that which protects is dharma. So protect means protect what? Oh, protect family. So protect the house. So it's not that. Protect life in general, protect everything. So that is dharma. So dharma, protection of life is by seeking Brahman. So that is protection. So that is the reason why, like if we ask any spiritual master, they will say that the world is in a chaos. Of course, the world is in chaos. Economy is going down. So tornadoes are still hitting. So things are really going bad for Wall Street. So it is extending to other parts of the world. So things are going really bad. But still, what is sustaining the entire world? Brahmajnanis are people who have realized Brahman. And why is it that Brahmajnanis are upholding the world? Because Brahman is upholding the world. Why is Brahman upholding the world? Brahman is the cause of the world. So the cause has to uphold. So that means any desire in the world, so any desire for Namarupam in the world, without forgetting that it is Brahman, that is dharmam, that means such a kamam I am. So Krishna doesn't say that he is the kamam for other things, but because if he says he is the kamam, he is the desire for all worldly objects, then people will say, oh, in that case, let me get like another car. Currently, I don't have a good one. It's an old one. So let me get a BMW. Let me get a house. So all those will start. So if all those start and people will say, oh, so Krishna says, this is Krishna only, this is Krishna. He says, oh, if you have doubt, go to Nita. He says that he is the kamam in every all beings. Therefore, he doesn't want people to get deluded even while learning the scriptures. Therefore, he says that desire which is devoid, it is not against the real dharma, against the real purpose of life, against Brahman. So there are different ways of even putting that against spirituality, against the spiritual goal, against purpose of life, against this, that. I can say, I can enumerate or list down at least 10 such ways of putting it. But in short, any desire without forgetting Brahman, that is me, or I am that desire. So why I am that desire? Because the moment we remember that Namarupam is Brahman. So, oh, I have to like go out. I have to get a new car. Okay, well, I'm good. I get a new car. While driving back, I have to cross through a bridge and it falls into the water. Somehow, I've seen Kung Fu movies, I jump. And a crouching dragon. I guess a crouching tiger, I guess. Whatever it is, crouching tiger. And the crouching tiger, therefore I jumped. I was killed, but the car was lost. At that time, even while getting the car, I knew that it is Namarupam. So I'm not affected by it. Still the same happy face. There's a beautiful story. A story incident in the Purana that Ramana Maharshi often quotes. So when Shiva and Parvati were crossing through a forest. So while they were crossing through the forest, Parvati saw that Rama was searching for Sita. So Ravana, it was the perfect time when Ravana took away Sita and Rama was running here and there calling out, Sita, Sita, Sita. He was also shouting at the top of his voice like, if the next minute, like when I go out of the house, I find that I don't have a car, I'll also shout. So me shouting is different from Rama shouting, which we'll see now. So Rama was also shouting like any worldly person. So Sita was like, not Sita, sorry, Parvati was really worried. Not worried, but more of like she was surprised that Rama, who is one of the Trinity, is still running behind his wife like any worldly person. So he mentioned, of course, he's a loyal man, therefore, loyal wife, I should say. Therefore, she said that to Shiva as well. Oh, Shiva, look at Rama. I'm proud of you, my beloved. You are the greatest among the Trinity. Of course, women always, women as well as feminine qualities, the bad feminine qualities, trying to depend on others, trying to stick on to others, trying to blame others, that is bad feminine qualities. So they always like want to pull down others. Okay, I am alone, so let me pull down my husband as well. So, oh, beloved, you are the greatest among the Trinity now, because look at Rama. He is running behind his wife like any mortal being. So Shiva said, okay, don't go by appearances, that's not good. It's not good going by appearances. And Shiva said that, and they both passed by Rama. And Shiva offered his pranam to Rama. Of course, Shiva and Rama are good friends. Of course, Shiva is also realized, so other people cannot delude him. Even his wife cannot delude. So Shiva was not affected. So he just prostrated Rama. And Rama also prostrated in return. And then Shiva went by. So Parvati said, this is really bad. This is where you have brought me down. People will say, oh, look at you. Look at you, Aparna. What have you done? If you are in a family of people who have been learning Advaita Siddhi and other Vedantic words, but look what you have done. You have brought disgrace to me. So when a person tries to do the real good thing, then you say, you have brought disgrace to the family, you are not marrying, you are not keeping up the tradition. You are going after something called Brahman. Who wants that Brahman? Will it give me money? It won't give me money, it won't give me power, it won't give me fame. What it will do? You kill the ego. What else is this? What can be more worse or bad than that? So similarly, a joke says, and I just want to make the story interesting, because some people complain that there is only Brahman, so let me try to add some joke, add some spice to the Brahman, if it is possible. Of course, it's not possible, but let me try at least. So what happened was, Shiva, Parvati didn't like. So Shiva said, you don't know what is going on. I know. I can see through beings. I am realized, so I can know what is going in other people's minds. So I know Rama. So I don't need to doubt him. So Parvati was not convinced. So Shiva said, okay, if you are not convinced, you can go just and test him. That's fine. I am fine with it. As long as you don't pull me in, I am fine. I can't come to test you, you can go. So Parvati decided to test Rama. So she took the form of Sita and then went in front of Rama. Rama saw, he laughed. Of course, Ramana Maharshi says it very beautifully that Rama just smiled at a normal smile at Sita or Parvati, Sita, and then Rama asked, oh Parvati, why are you here? And where is your partner Shambhu? Is everything fine? Are you separated now? Are you fighting? Okay, of course, he didn't ask all those questions. He just asked, oh Parvati, what are you doing here? Where is Shambhu? Why are you in Sita's form? Immediately, Parvati realized that Rama was just acting. So Rama was doing things like a mortal being would do, but internally he was unaffected. It is that state where the car falls into the water but still very happy. Externally, if you are very happy, then people will find out the nearby mental asylum and put you there. Therefore, don't do all those. Cry out as much as possible. Try to cry. Try to hit few people who come to ask you what happened. Just hit them. And then do all those, whatever is required, whatever the world requires you to do, do it. But internally remember that it is Nama Rupam, and that remembrance in itself is the path. That is the bridge from Jagat to Brahman. So though a person is in the Anitya Lokam, he had the desire to get the car, the desire was backed by knowledge that the entire world is Brahman. And that knowledge will make his mind unaffected. So as Shankara says, Nittaranga Jaya Rashi Nishchalam. It is like the water in the ocean. That water in the ocean which is waveless, without any waves. There is no wave, there is no bhava bhedam. That is the perfect word for it. Bhava bhedam means bhavam, or the state, emotional as well as external state of a person doesn't change. Of course, external can change. Emotionally or mentally, he is ever calm, unaffected. Of course, there are people, if we really think that, oh, externally, oh, this is impossible to do, even in the mind. Okay, externally I have to cry, but internally not cry, it's impossible. Then we can go and meet Balakrishna Nayak. If anybody is interested, they can ask Saraswati as to what her experience was with various questions. So all questions had just one answer. So my sister was telling me some time back that when Balakrishna Nair's wife died, so at that time, or was about to die, he went to the hospital and then he was smiling like always, telling that, oh, this world is only an illusion. But if a person like Balakrishna Nair can do it externally, he is 80 years, almost 1923, so 85. So at the age of 85, if he is able to demonstrate this knowledge externally, even externally, considering the entire world as Brahman, Namarupam as Nithya, and being unaffected, externally we can do, at least we can try internally. Of course, the option is there. We can try it. Or starting tomorrow, we can say, oh, I am fine with Paramartha's jokes that are good for me. I listen to Paramartha. He says, a little attractive, his words are a little attractive. He'll say, he'll slowly say, now we will discuss about Brahman. That is more attractive, more appealing, and he doesn't talk about Brahman. He talks about it only in Mandukya Upanishad effort, like, I'll learn his Tattva Bodha, I'll learn his Vedanta Saram, I'll learn his Brahma Sutra, well and good. It is fine, but irrespective of whom we learn from, irrespective of what we learn, there are only two things here, Brahman and Jagat. Brahman can give us Anandam, Jagat cannot give. Brahman can be explained in many ways, but still it is one alone. As long as that one entity is not spoken about, there are many ways to speak about Brahman, but as long as reality is Brahman, and temporary nature of the world, or blissful nature of Brahman and sorrowful nature of the world is not spoken, is not explained, even if we are learning from Brahma himself, still not get Anandam. There is no doubt regarding this. I have no doubt at least. So if somebody finds Brahma, at least they have done a lot of punya karma to meet Brahma, and after like they learn from Brahma, if Brahma doesn't speak about Brahman, if they learn about learn from Brahma, and they can come back and tell me like if they really, oh, then you are wrong. I learned from Brahma, and he always spoke about this world. He said this world is good. You don't have to renounce. You can have desires. Have a lot of desires. Well, maybe people who will explain this particular shloka about kama, desire as, oh, have a desire. It's okay to have desire which is not against dharma. What dharma? Oh, your dharma now is to marry. That is your dharma. Marriage is part of dharma. I can show you Manusmriti which says that marriage is part of dharma. But like any person or any sadhaka is free to choose such people, but it is Vedanta's statement, or Shankara's statement, Shankara's assertion, I should say, that it is okay to follow such people, but if we don't realize that the dharma that is mentioned here is remembering that Brahman alone is real, we don't do that, then there is no way that we can be saved in the world. Saved in the means we can be blissful in the world. We may go for retreats, we may go to meet Amma, we may daily discuss awakened children, we may learn various chapters of Gita, we may sing beautifully, we may compose, we may play the violin, but it doesn't matter. As long as this knowledge is not remembered, a person doesn't remember this knowledge that the entire world is Brahman, there will be no eternal bliss. Temporarily, things may be fine. Things may look really fine as long as the violin is broken. So as long as the violin is broken, things are fine. Oh, and as long as you don't meet Kunnakudi Vaidyanathan, you are safe, because nobody will say that your violin playing is really bad. So you can be very happy. But when that happens, the world will become upside down. So that is what happens in the world. That is how we see people around us, seeking one thing after the other, seeking spiritual masters as well, seeking worldly things, seeking a lot of things, but all those seeking, even if we go to a spiritual master, that will not save us. So if we have to be saved, then we have to get this knowledge. So spiritual master can help us with this knowledge only if we ask the knowledge, which means that it is all upon us to remember this, ask this knowledge and remember. Of course, we don't have to go to Amma and ask, Amma, can you tell me knowledge? Amma will say, are you trying to fool me? You have already learned the 7th chapter of Gita and then you are asking me to teach. What else should I teach now? Should I teach the 19th chapter of Gita? Because there is no 19th chapter, only 18 chapters. So Amma's Gita, like it is common today. Like if everybody starts their own Gita, so tomorrow somebody might start Hariram's Gita. And then Aparna will write a foreword to it. Oh, Hariram's Gita is just one word. 15 minutes Brahman, 15 minutes Brahman. The total time of the discourse is 30 minutes. And then what is left? Oh, there is one thing that he says extra. He prostrates Amma in the beginning. And then he says Namah Shivaya at the end. Yes, that is like people can start their own Gita, but that won't help us. Like this truth about Brahman being real, Brahman being the entire world of Nama Rupam, that can be explained in many ways, explained by different people. There are many scriptural works, not just one Bhagavad Gita. There are the Shopanishad, there are works of Shankara. There are many scriptural works that speak about this truth in different ways. But as long as we don't apprehend this particular truth that the entire world is Brahman with Nama Rupam, so that is the only difference between Brahman and Jagat. Jagat is Nama Rupam, which is Asaram. Without any essence, without any reality, Brahman alone is real. I am that Brahman. How to attain that Brahman? By having desires at the same time, remembering this. Dharma, the dharma of life is to realize. And realization is possible when we remember this truth. So any desire, any activity, while remembering this, that alone can give us anandam. It's very simple. It's not like we have to, Ramanuja, like we don't have to go to a spiritual master, go to him like again and again, like Amma was telling me, that we don't have to go to the ashram to learn these days, like we have interpretations and then everybody is ready to, like, people who have learned a few chapters of Gita, of course, like me, just learn a 5 or 6 chapters of Gita and then you can give discourses and there will be a lot of people flocking to come. Because it's not flocking here. Maybe it will be tomorrow, I don't know. Everything is a black box in the world, because the world itself doesn't really exist. So we can, like, we have the scriptures, like scriptural knowledge is available everywhere. And in pure form it is available everywhere. So what is required for this is just remembering that Brahman is real, Jagat is Nitya. We don't have to externally do actions for it. External actions are fine. We can be wherever we are. We can continue whatever we are doing. We can continue our desires. But internally, let me add this thought, let me remember this at all times internally, remembering. You are remembering, externally I'll just do other things, but I purely or simply remember this, that alone is required, this doesn't require any money, we don't have to spend like thousands of dollars for tuning our body and mind. So today if we look around for yoga, for physical body, or for any kind of meditation technique, we have to pay, not free. Nothing is free in the world, even water is not free these days, like at least here. And India will definitely be going forward. There will be no water, and that also will be. And after a few days, a few years, and few centuries, even air will not be free. You'll have to go to the pump and say, I need 10 kilos of air. That is how it will be. So everything comes with a price. This doesn't have any price. This doesn't require any money. This doesn't require much effort. This is not contradicting other things. So today I have to attend awakened children. Therefore, I cannot come to the party. Unfortunately, I cannot come to your party because awakened children is there. There is no limitation to this. Even when we are partying, even when we are sleeping, even when we are doing any activity, we can just remember. It is just remembering, simply remembering in our mind that everything is Brahman. So it is very easy. It doesn't have any, we don't need to spend money. We don't need to stop our external activities. We don't need any kind. It doesn't have any limitation like, we have to sit in a place. We have to first chant the Guru Gita. You have to do this. You have to do that. There is nothing at all. It's very simple. But it is very tough. It's not easy. It is very easy. Therefore, it is really tough. So since it is very easy, it is very tough. But we shouldn't back out just because it is very tough to understand. It's not very tough to understand. If I can understand, any person can understand. Like, I didn't say this, but still, I was very weak in mathematics. In 10th standard, like at mathematics, I was a real expert. And then in 12th, I went really down. Somehow barely managed to cross. So in college as well, it was the same case. I got good marks, but still I was really struggling. So if I can understand this, any person can very easily understand. It's not tough for us. It's not at all tough for us. Therefore, like, we shouldn't set it aside that, okay, it is tough. I learned today I heard some logical things. Okay, I can't understand it. Therefore, I don't want Gita. We shouldn't back out of it. It's not about backing out from explanation of Gita given by me, but it is about backing out from remembering Brahman. And it's not like I am trying to propagate Vedanta. Vedanta doesn't need any propagation. It is always there. It is available to any person. It's not propagation that is meant here. I'm not going to gain anything out of trying to make people follow Vedanta. And that will not also help. A person has to really have the desire. So people can listen to Gita in front of me, and then after that, things can be like, we can just forget it. We can decide not to remember. So that can very well happen. Therefore, we shouldn't do all those. Like, at least if we don't even follow it, if we don't even understand it fully, fine. There was 5-6 logic given. I don't remember all those. Okay, fine. Simple logic is what? The entire world is Brahman. So after that, like Aparna said, it's fine. It's fine to say tomorrow that, Paramatma is really good. He explains a lot of things. There is this guy called Hariram. I know that he is not realized. Okay, I agree that. So I have to mention that there is a huge difference between Paramatma and me, because the difference itself is that I am not realized. He is realized. But like Aparna, the person can say, he says just Brahman. What does he say? Everything is Brahman. If at least a person can remember at least that portion, that will help him or her. So it doesn't matter whether a person is remembering the entire, whatever I have spoken for the last 1 hour, whatever I have spoken It's not required. What is required is if we are able to remember that entire world is only Namarupam and Brahman, let me try to remember this. Even if I don't understand, let me blindly follow it. Just blindly follow it. And after a few years, if you still find that you are not, your happiness level is not increasing, you can come back to me, we can discuss as to why it happened or what is wrong. There will definitely be something wrong, but if we are able to blindly remember this, there is a 100% guarantee that and this will pass, or as years pass by, our happiness level will start increasing. We'll find that we are more content. We'll find that we are peaceful. Irrespective of situations, we are able to maintain a peace, maintain the happiness level of our mind always. So that is the goal of life. That is that knowledge which can give us completion, which can make us complete, which can make us make our life fulfilled. Fulfilled, I should say. Fulfilled. So that is that knowledge, the knowledge that the entire world is Brahman. We don't have to learn the 700 shlokas of Gita. Don't have to do anything else at all. This is knowledge. This is a knowledge. Okay, again, it's not my statement. Krishna says that this is, I'll give you knowledge which will, after knowing which, you don't need to know anything. This is that knowledge that the entire world is one entity, Brahman. The difference is just Namarupam. I am that Brahman. Remove the Namarupam, identification of body, mind. Whatever objects are there, they are the world. I am the subject of Brahman. Even if we are not able to disassociate ourselves from the body, at least remembering that everything is Brahman, immediately I and mine, immediately associations will vanish, immediately Bandham will vanish, immediately Dvaita Bhavam will vanish, immediately attachment and aversion will vanish, which means we will be able to lead a life filled with peace and bliss. That is what we see in Mahatmas, or like Amma, as well as people like Balakrishna Nair, who are able to remain unaffected whatever happened. So it is possible, and it is that knowledge, this knowledge, at least we should, if we are not able to understand, still find blindly, let me by heart. We by heart or do things in the world. We do a lot of things, though it's not essential, it is not required. We don't question things. We still do it. Like, somebody can ask, like, oh, why should I wake up in the morning? Yes, I will definitely ask that question because I sleep quite a lot. So, I'll definitely ask that question. Of course, I don't need to ask. That's a different thing. So, we don't ask all those. Why should I brush my teeth? Of course, there is an answer for it. But then, like, why can't others close their nose so that they don't smell? Why do I have to smell? So, we don't question all those. We don't question certain things in life. Similarly, but when it comes to Vedanta, we will put all kind of limitation and questions. So will it really give me bliss? They have spoken about just Brahman, 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 Brahman. Will it give me bliss? Really, will it give me bliss? So all those questions we can ask, but we won't ask about things in the world. Okay, it is fine to ask questions about Brahman. Please. It is also very good to ask questions because at least then we will have our focus on Brahman. Knowingly or unknowingly, we are focused on Brahman when we ask questions about Brahman. So that is also fine. But still, if we are not able to understand, now we don't have to ask any question because we already know. And if we cannot understand, or like there are still doubts in our mind regarding this concept of everything being Brahman, we should just ignore it. Either we can discuss it out. If anybody has questions, like, feel free to ask me or any. There are always answers or solutions to any question that can come in the mind of a speaker. So if we have questions, we can come back and we can discuss it out. But we should at least give it a shot. Like, we should try it. If we try it for a few days or a few months, so let me try this out. Before saying that this is not for me, let me at least try it. We do that, we will find that it's definitely helping us. That will continue. later, Manisha.